If Murray had supported the show, I'd be less sick of podcasts.
The Blubbity Blah.
Sending out good vibes.
Good vibes. Underneath breaths of deep gratitude and prayers for guidance and protection. And put on a didgeridoo and shamanic drumming track. Shivers or vibrations and stuff like that.
Okay, guys, welcome back to the Grime America Show. Coming at you this week with Zen Crier, the Brook. It's a good show. It's hard to believe we recorded this. It got to seem like a month ago, but it was a good one. It was popular on YouTube as well when we went live. So a good show. We got everybody's favorite podcaster, Graham, going to Cosmic Summit Dunlop. You nervous? No. Getting nervous yet? I mean, yeah. The other night when you're talking about it, I was almost like you tried to back out of it a little bit. Not back all the way up, but maybe just take a step back.
Yeah, I was trying to give the organizers some options, but I mean, I don't even want to talk about it because, you know, who knows? But I don't know. I got to put together the presentation and it's
Is it okay. A presentation? Do you actually?
Well, we have to do like a 10 minute. It's just 10 minutes.
So. 10 minutes.
Which should be easy. I mean, I've got a real high level. Like, I'm going to try to approach Atlantis from a high level, like, really, like, high level on why there's a huge case for lost civilization. So, and then I'm going to kind of narrow it down to the Azores, because I think that makes the most sense. I mean, there's the geology, the geography, the mythology. It all kind of points to that, right?
So, or Egypt.
Yeah, and a larger part, right? I mean, it could be that and a large like part of Egypt, part of
it could have been Egypt and everything just looked different, you know?
Yeah,
the ocean was in a different spot or whatever.
Yeah,
but the Azores is then there'd have to be a different Pillars of Hercules and everything.
Exactly, which some people say that you translate it and it's somewhere else, but I think that is
through the Pillars of Heracles, and then you get to Egypt.
Well, because I was reading in Timaeus the other day, like they talked about that ocean, like actually in the Cadiz, the Bay of Cadiz there, which is right outside the Pillars. If you come out the Pillars and turn right from the Mediterranean. They were talking about how that ocean was in the ancient times. Like they were like, that is the real ocean. Like that was the scary kind of like anybody that would sort of approach that ocean was sort of like, not a hero, but you know, it was like you were considered brave if you would even, you know, try and tackle that big ocean. So, and you're going to see somebody at Cosmic Summit put together, you're going to see the documentary. These guys, I got to see some of it. This Atlantica, I mean, holy shit, dude, they're finding stuff. I don't want to say where, but I just said where. They're finding stuff under the water that looks like the city that Plato described. I mean, and that's pretty close to the Azores. So my argument would be like, yeah, that can be correct, but so can the Azores, you know, because if the Azores was above and it really kind of, you could get their island hopping from the Pillars and from North America. I mean, when I just read that Timaeus quote, and it just sounds like that's exactly what they said. I mean, there's a huge continent outside once you get to the islands. Like, it really does just feel like, it feels like the Azores. So.
Bada bing, bada boom.
I'm going to put those, that bathymetric map that we've shown. I've got some photos of that into the presentation. So that'll be cool.
This is your big break, Dunlop.
12 years later.
12 years later. Yeah, overnight sensation.
I don't want a break. I don't want a big break. I just want to do what we're doing. Make a living at it.
Chugga, 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 chugga.
Just chug along.
Just chugging along. I finally got my track bar done in my truck today. I did just have to cut it. I had to resort to cutting the bolt.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, like I was talking about in the last show, these new Sawzall blades are phenomenal. I forget the one I got. I forget what it was called, but the teeth look weird. They're like long little, weird things.
It's made out of, is it like a titanium blade or diamond tipped or something?
Yeah, it's got to be something like that because it cuts through that 10.9 steel like fucking butter. Really? Like if you don't watch where you're going, you'll start cutting through structural members.
What was the blade? What was the name of the blade? Like, what was the brand? Was it the same brand as the tool that you had, or was it a
no
separate blades? The blades are different, right?
The blades are different. Let me see. I could probably find it pretty quick in my order history here. So they were carbide. They were easy arc carbide reciprocating saw blade.
Easy arc.
Yes. I'll see what it says, what they're made out of. Bimetal reciprocating saw blades, 8 teeth per inch, designed for cutting all kinds of metal.
Wow.
Anyway, I was fucking blown away. I honestly, I had used one before, so I knew to be kind of careful because I was in a tight spot. But the first time I did it, I was like, whoa, if you weren't paying attention and you were like just off by a little bit, because most of that frame material is really only an eighth of an inch thick or 3/16 of an inch thick. So those saw blades are fucking nuts. You cut through a whole bolt in fucking a minute or two. Which back in the day, like that's what I was saying, like fucking 20 years ago before them Sawzall, it must have been just a motherfucker to get in there with something trying to cut that.
How wide was the bolt?
It was a 14 millimeter.
14 millimeter?
But then it was also inside the bushing sleeve, so that probably adds an eighth of an inch all the way around.
So you went through the sleeve too, or?
Through the rubber and everything.
Wow.
Because the bolt was stuck. It wouldn't turn on either side. So there's a bushing on either side of the bar. I just cut through that. And then it all popped apart pretty easily, actually, because it wasn't seized inside the bushing. It was only seized to the metal. Like the metal was just fucking rusted together. It's crazy. Wow. It's just rusted together. It's like they've become one. Dude, I took so I cut it. And the side with the nut on it came out. I soaked that shit in anti-seize for like an hour and I could not get it to come off of that. It just would not come off no matter what I did.
Like you said, transmuted together. Like they probably literally rusted together.
Yeah. So I had to get new bolts and new nuts. That's all done. She's done.
Nice.
She's done. It really helped with the swandering and the steering, which was the last problem. It also came in that same kit. So it was like this loose end hanging around from that kit that I hadn't done yet. So all in all, it really wasn't bad. It probably only took about 3 hours. But 3 hours of really fucking, really fighting. Tough fight. Because then you got to squeeze them fucking bushings out of this thing that they don't really fit in. So use a little clamp for that. And then there's still the stupid little metal sleeve that I used a socket to hammer it down, but I couldn't get it out. So I had to get like a hacksaw in there and I had to take the hacksaw apart. It's like a ring inside a ring. So I had to take the hacksaw apart and put it in through the ring and then just hacksaw through that tin in a couple of spots so that then I could chisel that middle strip out of it and collapse it in on itself.
Wow. It was
real. Yeah. But it worked out and good to go. The Res Rocket is ready to roll.
Nice.
You'll probably use an alignment after all that work. I was trying to do it myself, but I'm not 100% sure. You know, I feel like they got a thing for that. You know, in the shop, they really either put it in a machine or some bullshit. They probably got a thing that they just drive it on and they can tell right away what the fuck's going on. I was kind of trying to do it and it seemed kind of, I've never been good at details, at very fine details, you know? Not a strong suit of mine.
Yeah, you're pretty rammy.
Exactly. So anyway, it's good to have that dealt with off the list of things to do before Cosmic Summit. So I don't have to come back to it, you know?
Yeah. I put off my floor leveling because this week is just too busy. So I almost need a whole day. Yeah. Yeah.
What about Saturday?
It's what, this Saturday coming up? Maybe. I don't know. I'm waiting for the plumbers to come back too. So,
and then just like, what are you doing it yourself? Just getting like really.
I usually work in the mornings on Saturday. Well, Saturday would be a good day to do it. Yeah. Yeah. Saturday or early next week, maybe. But
are you just,
what were you saying?
Are you dumping out some self leveling grout or something?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Are you going to do it yourself?
Yeah. Well, I'll have somebody helping me, but.
Yeah. I wish you were filming this.
I know. I've got the cracks all sealed in the concrete. The thing's all primed and prepped, and I've got the edge all sealed up. It's all ready to go. I just need like 8 bags of the stuff. It's going to be quite expensive, even just to.
How much is a bag? It's got to be
$50 a bag. Yeah.
Just to get the bathroom leveled.
Yeah, just the bathroom only. Yeah. But I want, that's what I want to be like, you know, if the living room, we'll have to see how the living room goes. Like I need to really make sure this is level. Like I want the bathroom to be nice, you know? You know what I mean? I want
it like a lot. It seems like a lot of grout to level a bathroom.
It's not grout. It's self-leveling concrete.
Concrete.
Self-level. Yeah.
Oh, cause you got to build some floor up now too, because of the plumbing, or is it just for leveling?
Just for leveling. There's the plumbing's in already. They've patched what they had to, but now it's like there's an inch and a quarter. Like there, it goes from the middle, from the highest point. Like I used a laser level to find the highest point, and then I measured like an eighth above that, because that's where we're going to have to get the skim coat of the leveler, right? And then measured all around the floor, and it's down an inch in most places, an inch and a quarter, three quarters of an inch. And then it comes up at the doorway to almost that high point again. So it's just really, and that's only in a space that's 116 square feet. So we expanded it out to like, so it's like five by eight. It was four and a half wide before by eight, like tiny little thing. And then we've kind of expanded out. So it comes out like that. And then we've expanded where it'll be the toilet and the sink. And then we've expanded out part of the basement underneath the stairs, and that's about nine by seven and a half, an extra space where the tub will be and some shelving and stuff, like, and that'll all be part of the bathroom.
So you're just gonna fill up the bucket and dump it.
Yeah, dump it, and you got to move it around a bit, push it around a bit, level it. You're supposed to use a spiked roller to get all the air bubbles, but the hardware store doesn't have one. I'm not going to order a spiked roller just for that.
How are you getting all this? Are you watching YouTube or?
Yeah, YouTube. Yeah, YouTube's been good. Yep. Yeah.
Who's helping
you? Well, reading all the instructions too and stuff. I mean, it's part of it.
Instructions.
A special primer that you got to use in the concrete, and then it'll be level up, and then I can just put the flooring tiles right on that.
When's
I'm not using a wood sub. What?
When's the big reveal?
I don't know. I mean, I got to build a. I'm stuck, man, with too many things on the go now. The sheds are important for this year. If I don't get the sheds built, I'm fucked. Right. That's got to happen this summer.
Where's the stuff from the sheds right now?
I've ordered I'm getting the joists pre-made from the hardware store. They're like $40 a piece. It's super, like way more of a deal than me just making all those cuts myself. So they'll come and then I can build the walls and stuff. And I'm going to build like a barn door, I think, in each shed so that I can just go in one side from the backyard and make it like it'd be like a double shed. So as far as the town's concerned, it's still a small movable shed, but there'll be like a link to them both. So I don't have to go all the way around the front to get in the other side.
Nice.
Yeah. So that'll be fun. It comes as a kit. It's a kit, like a stick built shed kit, right? I mean, I was looking at the prices of just buying them from Amazon and stuff. And it just like, I thought I'm going to go to the hardware store. They've got these packages, and they were building one in their shop. So I went and took a look at that too. And it should be fun to just build it. And it's going to be wood. It'll be nice and strong. Like it's not going to break down like the tin one. So So yeah, man, it's lots of projects. They're just slow. You know, I just try and pick away at stuff. And
you have to worry about the town. Are they busting your balls?
I'm building a relationship with the town so that they I'm playing nice with the town, right? I mean, I want them to be supportive of my, you know, because I want to build a wizard's tower right in the backyard eventually.
Were you going to pile the wizard's tower in, or?
I don't know exactly. Probably won't dig a basement or anything. It'll be piled in. It'll be coming through the bedroom, and it's going to be an expansion. This is my dream. I'm just trying to manifest it, right? It's going to come through the bedroom out into like a big great room in the backyard. And then from there, stairs going up. As Mac, the highest I can get it to the town, it's 34 and a half feet is the highest I can make it as per the town bylaws. I mean, they wouldn't let that go, right? You couldn't go higher. They'll freak out if you start building something higher, right? So I got to provide them with a concept to get my permit approved and stuff. And then I can go put my office studio in the top where I get the view of the eastern and western and the southern skies.
With your weird little tower. Rocked around in the wind.
I was thinking about it yesterday because the wind was so bad. I'm like, oh my god.
Are you gonna build that yourself?
No. I'll do the framing and the drywall and stuff probably, but I won't do the structure. Or maybe not the framing, but I'll do the inside but I won't do the electrical or the foundation or anything like that. There's a guy right down the road here that does all that stuff. But anyways, that's what I'm doing. I mean, instead of moving, we're just going to expand this place, you know?
And build a wizard tower.
What?
I'm trying to picture 34 feet. So it's that like twice as tall as your current house?
Yeah. What was the current house? The rooftop of the current house is like 18 feet, I think. So me standing on the roof would be 23 feet. So another 11 feet above that. So what I would do is I would make, this is how great, this is what?
If you stand on the roof now, can you see the horizons?
It's a little better. Yeah. A little better. Not 100%, but it's way better. Like I just don't have any view, right? We don't have any view right now of the sun, right? And the sun's out all the time. So I just want to see that more of that, you know, a little bit more of that. So what I want to build is instead of building a peaked roof like that, where you've got this huge sort of attic space, I want to be open joists with windows with maybe one slope on it so that I can have windows on three sides. And the stairs will come up that one side in the back on the north side.
So realistically, you'll get another like 8 feet. To get your eyes up 7 or 8 feet.
Yeah. Exactly.
You should put a stepladder on the roof and just see how the view looks off of that. Before you invest all this money, you're like, shit, I can't quite see. Just see all the neighbors' roofs.
Well, the thing is, we want to expand the place anyways. And, you know, eventually, I mean, this is just I want to know so that I can start manifesting it, right? And start working towards it. Instead of moving, we'll just do that. So basically, if we're going to expand anyways, then we can make this great room no problem. And then I just build up from there.
Excellent. Would it be open all the way up in the middle?
I don't think so. No. I mean, what I would do is
great room.
What?
The tower would be on top of the great room.
Well, I don't think so, because there's almost room for three levels, right? So maybe the top two levels are very small, and then the bottom level's got a pretty high roof, you know, like, you know how like it'd be a high ceiling, and then maybe there's the middle level is just like a den, library, storage, maybe it's a library, you know, with some chairs and bookshelves all over the place, and then you go up one more level into the studio office.
Wow. I can't wait to see the drawings. Anyway, At least you could do the drawings yourself, probably with ChatGPT. It's like, oh, where you go. I think I've seen an architect GPT in there. I mean, you could just prompt up a whole building. Anyway, if you're enjoying the show, if you're getting some value from our little podcast here, or I mean, this is a good one especially, but we got 715 or 712 episodes in the back catalog. You guys can go check out all there for free. We never paywalled any of it so that you can go listen to it for all time. And if it adds some value to your life somehow, head over to grammarica.ca/support today and send some value back our way by signing up for a monthly or making a one-time donation. We do have some people to thank this week. Actually, we got Lord Paul from Jasper sent us 3333.
Thanks, Paul.
And then also signed up for an 1111 monthly.
Wow.
We appreciate that very much. Thank you very much, Paul. We love you, buddy. And then just yesterday, we had one come in from your mom. I'm certain it's your mom. And I think, yeah, Mary Dunlop. So thank you.
Thanks, Mom.
So she sent $105.
Well, no, that might have been for the subs. She sent it. She signed up for the Substack. So maybe that
says subscription creation. So I hope she hasn't accidentally signed up for $100 a month somehow. Something like that. But
it was for Grimerica Outlawed, the Substack, apparently. Because she loved our chat with Matt Arrett in there.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks, Ma. Anyway, it says,
I don't think she listens to this show anymore as much. I don't know what happened there.
It says she listens to the A-list and the other. It says subscription creation, though, so you just might want to check into that. Might want to check into that.
I don't think it'll be possible to check in on it. I'll have to just see what happens.
Just see what happens. Just roll it out. So, yeah, that's it. It'd be nice if there was more, but there's not. Of course, we have a few other people that are still on their monthlies that help make the ends meet, but we could always use a little bit more support around here. You know, if people head over to grammarica.ca/support today, sign up for monthly or make a one-time donation, it really does make a huge difference. You know, if 100 of you did that, then I could eat more. Graham could finish his floor faster.
Yeah.
Yeah, help with the floor. And all that.
And the sheds.
You decided to paint the canvas ones?
Yeah. Yeah.
My canvas one holds up in incredible winds. I got to say, I'm increasingly impressed by its ability to not blow away.
Yeah. I want to be able to put hangers in there and just into a wood shed. Yeah, I want the wood ones. Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah, we should talk about the CBD too this time, and Cosmic Summit, of course, as well.
Both those things, yeah. You want to start with the summit? I mean, we kind of started about what you were doing at the beginning, but we really didn't talk about what we were talking about. So that's, of course, going to be on the tail end of the Cosmic Summit. Is it part of the live stream too?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Do we still have one left?
No, of course. We had to refuse somebody because we had too many. So
that's the way she goes. That's the way she goes. So.
But yeah, we have our own CBD products and gummies, right? And the little gummies that are THC gummies too, I guess, right? So Calmay, Serenova, Stone Spirit gummies, Dream Beam gummies. What?
5 milligram ones were definitely enough to fuck some people up.
Illumin, Solaris.
Yeah. But I couldn't take them home. I mean, that was the problem. I got the package. It was beautiful. But it was all just, there's no way that if I got stopped by airport security, they wouldn't be like, what the fuck are you doing? There's no easy way to, like, even if you just took the candies out, they smelled like weed so much that it was just like undoable.
Yeah.
Undoable, but it was a great opportunity to get a bunch of samples out. So everyone that was on the tour pretty much got some sort of a sample, everyone that was interested anyway.
Yeah. And if you're doing, you know, if you have your monthly CBD thing or if you're regularly using it, try ours. Give ours a try. We partnered with True Hemp Science.
True Hemp Science and that. And Transcendental Magic just came out on Audible today.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's that Eliphas Levi book. That's a really good one from the 1800s.
Are you done the Magus yet?
The Magus part two is, book two is done. Part three is a third the way done. It's the biographies. That's really, really good. Yeah.
Exciting times. But
the biographies are good anyways. So I'm reading about Edward Kelly and John Dee and Magnus, Albertus Magnus, and some of the old alchemists and stuff. And,
yeah, those are the same two guys that were just in that book.
I know. Crazy, eh?
I'm getting ready to go see Nicky the Dude. A week and a bit. Just over a week? Yeah, it's a week from this Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
For me. I leave Wednesday afternoon. Boot down. Drive. Go check out some stuff. We're staying two nights on the way to Greensboro. And I'll see you on Friday.
Yeah.
I think we're going to a gun range.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if people want to go to Cosmic Summit, we're going to hang out there, right? Grimerica 25 gets you 10% off. There's still some tickets left, I think, but it's the lineup's looking really good.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun weekend. It's going to be a fun weekend, like a reunion of sorts. There'll be a bunch of people there to see that I haven't seen in a while. Do you know if the bros are going?
No, I don't think they are. Ben will be there. Ben's doing a presentation.
Ben will be there. Yusuf will be there.
The Italian guy, yeah, Yusuf will be there. The Italian guys with that scan project are going to be there. The Vases will be there, talking about the Vases. Ancient Egypt.
The actual Vases, right? Not even just the 3D printed, the actual Vases.
Well, yeah, I don't know if they're bringing them or not, but they'll be talking about it. The experts will be talking about it.
George is bringing some.
Oh, maybe, yeah. Yeah.
Because he was talking about needing a room with mattress floors or something.
Really?
Yeah, when we interviewed him, he was like, how am I going to do this? Do I just have a room that's got mattresses for floors? I thought that's what he was talking about, was letting people touch the things.
Oh.
I heard Mo might show up too. There's still a chance.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and then a couple of the drivers will be there. Be a nice little venture, random course. Get to see all the crew again. Because you just missed out, so you haven't seen everyone in a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you go to the fall trip?
I did, yeah.
The Columbia Gorge?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool, cool. Well, anything else?
No, I don't think so. Just Zen DeBrook, Zen Crier DeBrook. She's her website is zencrierdebrook.com. She does, she coaches people and she helps people through this. I'm just going to read a quick, she's helped. I mean, we love our chats with her, but she helps people connect with their IGS, their internal guidance system, and unlock creative solutions, confidence, and access innate wisdom. She's worked with over 40,000 people and trained 400 master students to listen to, respond to, and honor their IGS. It's been incredible to see the transformations that people have achieved through these techniques. Broken families reunited, relationships mended, people transformed their bodies, created dream business careers, and more importantly, heal their crazy minds. So check it out. There's a link in the show notes.
There you have it, guys. And more than anything, most important thing, I'll support the show if you like it. America.ca/support. Keep it going. Keep it growing. Stop it from running out of gas. You guys keep the gas going over at grimerica.ca/support. Other than that, enjoy the chat with Zen Crier DeBrook.
here with Zen Crier DeBruck. Welcome to Grimerica. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, I'm really glad to be here. I think you guys are awesome. I'm excited about whatever topic you lead us into today.
Yeah, last time we had you on, I was like really great. I was one of those days where I was like super grateful that we get to do what we do and talk to amazing people. So I remember being very inspired after our last chat. And I just looked it up and it was on Grimerica Outlawed. So it was actually on our other show. Mm-hmm. This one is our long running show since 2013. So it'll be like 700 and something episodes or whatever.
But, wow, that's so. Yeah. Relations, that's not easy to do.
Yeah, it's been a 12 years now. So 12 years.
That's 12 years. Oh my gosh. Well, that's commitment. I love it. What's your favorite part of doing your show?
Well, probably meeting people, like listeners and guests. Yeah.
Yeah. You got good listeners?
Of course, yes, but truly. Amazing group. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the favorite part. And we've learned and we've like switched spots in a lot of ways with our thinking, Darren and I, and we've sort of evolved and grown as we've come along, you know, with certain things like intention and mindset and all that spiritual stuff that comes along with approaching these topics that can sometimes be fun, but sometimes be pretty heavy. Like right now, I mean, I was looking forward to talking to you about like what I'm kind of going through personally is just like this up and down kind of. Actually, we are getting an echo. Darren, do you know where that's coming from?
Yeah. I haven't been able to fix it. I've been trying.
Okay, let's try. We'll see.
Okay, I'm going to pop on my headphones.
Okay, let's see if that works.
That might do it.
All right. Yeah, that might do it. Can you hear us?
Yeah, let's see if I've got you. Can you edit that?
It'll be okay. We're pretty casual.
There we go. All right.
Okay, good.
I'm on. Okay, did that fix it, Darren?
I think it fixed it.
Yeah, I think it did. Yeah.
Okay. Okay,
so yeah, great. I mean, I wanted to ask you how it went since your book came out, you know, about your internal guidance system and all that. I think that's what we talked about last time we had you on. So how has it been like the last 3 years almost since you've been doing that?
You know, it's been amazing. This work just keeps getting more and more powerful. And I discovered it in 1993 and it was really a solution to my own self-sabotaging my life and having a lot of deep closings. A closing is like when you get a lump in your throat, a tightness in your chest, or a sick feeling in the solar plex area. And I didn't create this work. I decoded it, right? I've just been trying to figure it out. And it turns out now it's over 30 years. You want to talk commitment that I've been doing this. This is my life's work. And it's even gotten more profound, Graham, than I ever could have dreamed. Like every single human being is born with their internal guidance system turned on and working. When we feel a tight constriction in our body, that means what we're thinking is out of alignment. And that really actually means that it's thoughts we picked up between the ages of 0 and 7 that are ruining our lives or taking us off course. And when you learn how to, it's almost like now that I've been playing with AI, it's like instead of artificial intelligence, you're tapping into divine intelligence. And there are literally prompts, which is what I decoded, on how to find, get this to release and feel an opening in the center of your body. And when you do that, there's a new neural pathway started. And the old ones that you picked up in your childhood go neurally extinct. So the thing that's been new for me and that I'm working right now, we're raising funds for this our company to do medical testing on this and figure out what this is, because it's a real thing that works and it's consistent, is we were born, every single human, with a cyst operating system in us that rewires our brain as we go through our lives.
So this is literally rewiring it, because it's not just adding new connections, but you're overriding the old past one, I guess, right?
You're overriding the old past ones. So things like abandonment, the times in your life where you feel triggered. Anytime you're triggered, you're in an old pattern that you can rewire and the trigger goes away to where you don't react that way anymore.
And so you can measure this now with this technology, like via like brainwaves and stuff
that's what we're working on.
Or okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Being able to see what lights up in the brain and see how it works. And what happens is you actually transition once. So the first phase of doing this as a human, you just start clearing out all the closings. Anytime you feel that tight feeling, which we've called it worry, fear, anxiety, overwhelm, frustration, irritation, procrastination, right? All of these have prompts, by the way, guilt, defensiveness, impatience, right? All of these things, they and more, anytime we just labeled it that, but it actually is closing when you're in that moment and it's an alarm bell telling you it's time to move your thinking to a different thought product, process. And once you know how to do that and you do it in the moment and it opens, that old trigger starts going away. And it actually gets to the place where you're not irritated with people like you used to be. You're not frustrated about your life like you were, right? So like the prompt for irritation is all believing that a person, irritation's only with people, frustrations with things and situations, that a person cannot or will not change. That's the deep underlying fear and closing that's happening. So you look at what in the situation with this person do I believe can't or won't change? And then you find the prompt by, okay, it can change because I'm close. That means what I'm thinking is not true. How do I want it to change? How will it work for both of us? And once you find that, you open and it completely shifts the way you do life with that person. It's an ultimate marriage tool. I teach women how to love their husbands and trust them and, you know, really get that they're not big, huge ape-like beings that are ruining their lives. Yeah, you could use that word. Thank you. You're not. It's just, we keep trying to act like you're supposed to be like us and you're not.
Wow. Yeah. That's super powerful.
You want an example?
Yeah.
I have a woman who is on the verge of divorce with her husband, and he would come in from work and take over cooking. And she took it as he didn't trust her to be able to cook a meal for him. And he was coming in to help her out because she'd been with the kids all day. And that fight, without talking about it, we're close. So she'd start treating him bad. And then he's like, well, to screw you, man, I'm coming in here to help you out. You're treating me like dirt. Right. And as soon as she got this work, she realized that thought closed her. And she like got to the place where she's like, that's not true. He's not doing that. She started talking to him about it. He's like, honey, I'm just giving you some time to go take off and do something for yourself. And she got it. And she could believe him because he could say that all day long.
Right.
But it's actually believing that that's true. And that's where the opening comes in.
So is most of this worry, fear, all this stuff that happens, is most of it not real then for us?
It's not real. It's not true. Your mind is filled with lies.
Yeah.
Things it doesn't know, it doesn't know. We talked about this last time about what color a yield sign is. Do you remember that? What color is a yield sign?
Yellow.
It's yellow, right?
Is it yellow? What color is it? Isn't it like white and red?
It's white and red.
Yeah.
So this is the difference, right? So it's red and white. And in 1974, it was changed. And by 1978, they've all been red and white. And you've passed hundreds of red and white yield signs in your life, but your mind doesn't update itself. It doesn't know how to do that. Once something's in there, it stays in there. It's the body that updates the mind. But if I gave you a crayon gram and you colored the red and white yield sign on a piece of paper, your mind will never forget it, right? And we have all these things that were programmed in our childhood that are affecting our happiness in our life and our intimacy with others today, what we believe we're capable of today, right? So that's what this is about. And the crazy thing for me is we were all born with it. We've had this as a species for hundreds, if not thousands of years, and we don't know how to use it. I feel so blessed I get to actually be a part of teaching people how to do this because it changes their lives fast. You do it as you go through your day. You don't have to sit there at the end of the day and rewire. You rewire while you're in an argument with your spouse or while you're driving down the road terrified about a bill coming in and not being able to make the money to get it, right? Or whatever it is that's coming up for you in the moment. That is, you rewire it in that moment. So the transformation is fast. It's so fast.
What if you don't know what it is? You're just out of sorts and you don't know why. You don't know that you don't even feel that something's come in. You're just like wondering, like, why today am I irritable or out of sorts?
Well, that is the first phase. Like, you need training. I wish you didn't. I wish I could just osmosisly give this to everybody because it changes our world so quickly. But you do need training because our mind is crazy. Our mind is filled with stuff that freaks us out, right? And so at the first phase, you don't know what you're thinking. It takes a little bit of time. There's practices. I call it the Miyagi approach. Remember, wax on, wax off with Mr. Miyagi. I give you little tiny practices and you feel it. And it's clearing out closings as you, the practices that you go through your day. And then you start having the ahas. And it takes a couple of weeks for you to really actually be able to be aware of what you're thinking. All of a sudden you'll be feeling closed, but you won't know what you just thought. And so that does take a little bit of time, but it very quickly you start to understand what you're thinking. And then you're surprised at what's up there. And it's not always in alignment with what you think you want. In fact, I think you both have had most people, things that you wanted that turned out when you got them were not the thing you should have gotten at all.
Yeah.
you know?
So can you explain that a little bit more? What do you mean by things? So thoughts that I have or things that I want in the future that I don't really want?
Yeah. I'll give you a couple examples.
Items or stuff like that kind of.
People, material items, the way people that do, you want people to treat you a particular way. For me, like I'll give you an example. I was the CEO of a technology company and I had this big event. I had to go to like a Forbes magazine event, get all dressed up, do this whole thing. I was driving home after a long day at work and I really wanted to just go home and drink wine and watch Star Trek. I like the Janeway Star Trek, right? And so anyways, I'm driving home and I'm like, I don't want to go tonight. And I was closed, which means that thought's not true. And I thought, I do want to go. And my body opened up. And I was like, no, I really do not want to go. I'm exhausted, tightened back down. So I went because I follow my openings. Whenever you follow your openings, everything always works out. And I was so grumpy walking in the door. I did not want to be in a gown. I did not want to. But as soon as I got there, I saw a bunch of people I hadn't seen in a long time. I had the best time. It was so much fun. I felt reinvigorated about work. I felt reconnected to my tech community in San Francisco. I got a couple new clients out of it. And I really did want to go. But I, little me, didn't know that. There's something bigger than us. I like to say we have like a divine blueprint that we're born with. And we get off track on what that is as we live our lives and people tell us how we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to want and what makes us successful and what makes us happy. And this part of us, the whole point of the expansion and the contraction and following it as like a hot, cold game to live your life more beautifully, it knows what's going to make you happy. It knows the synchronicity you're supposed to be a part of. It knows the things you're supposed to produce. And it's working it overtime to get you there. And as you learn how to do it, you clear out the closings, which keeps us away from all the stuff that we're supposed to be doing and supposed to be believing in ourselves. What happens is there's a divine flow that happens. You can physically feel how to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing. And we're being led by our minds. We were never supposed to be. We're supposed to be led by this center, this beautiful part of ourselves.
That sounds like spiritual alchemy in a lot of ways. Like you're sort of transmuting that.
You are. It's exactly it. Like when we're closed, we get locked into something. And because it's not part of who we're supposed to be, what ends up happening is we get stuck. And this is where I think depression comes in.
And anxiety. What about the younger generation that seems to be like stuck?
I think that because the media is giving them an onslaught of the world is going to not be here for their future.
Yeah.
That what's happening is they're pulling back from participating in our world in the way that they should be, in the way that their divine blueprint would want them to be, because they don't believe there's any point. Climate change is going to kill us all. The wars are going to kill us all. Our economy is never going to be in a place where I can have anything that I truly want. So I'm just going to sit online and pretend to exist in this little tiny box that I live in. And that is causing the deep anxiety and the depression and the crisis that our youth are in right now. And it's a lot of it is false beliefs about what's going to happen in the future. I have an opening that our future is actually going to be fine, better than fine. I feel like what's happening is all this dark stuff is coming up because we have to know about it to fix it. And that if we don't know it exists, we can't fix it. And that we're in a place where we're being forced to decide how we want our world to be together. And that can be really uncomfortable. But I see a lot of things that are positive out there that are happening that are immense. There's technology out there that is so incredible. There's stuff that'll pull plastic out of the ocean with ease that we know, like, and it'll clean everything up and it'll create a whole new industry. There's so many different things that are out there that we have. It's like we have this massive pile of compost that we've created that we can use to flourish if we know how to use it right.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at. And that's one of the questions I had for myself, because when you mentioned about the personal relationships and how you want, you're afraid or fearful that somebody's not going to change. I feel like that with the world. Like that's kind of one of my, at a big picture thing, like, cause I go through the positiveness too, this is a fascinating time. Everything's coming to light. Like, this is great. And then I go through this period where I'm like, oh my God, we're stuck here. It's not going to change. There's too many people pushing back. They don't want this and that to happen.
Do you feel the tightness though? Do you feel the tightness starting right now? Let's check your body.
Yeah, probably a little bit. Yeah.
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 But the
change thing never really clicked for me. Like, it's because I want change. Like, I want things to get better and things to change. And that's one of the fears, is that we're just going to be stuck in this thing and nothing's going to ever change. But then, like, why does that even worry me? Like, at a, on a big picture level, like, it should, I should be more focused on my personal relationships and direct things that I can, almost like that serenity prayer, almost like that serenity prayer, you know?
So if it's something that's up for you, it's because it's part of your blueprint, right? It's like, okay, if you care about that, it's part of your, not everybody's not supposed to be participating in everything. There's one of the prompts, the divine prompts that we use is it any of my business?
Right.
Okay. And so it, there are many things in our lives that are none of our business. Even things that are intimate, like our retirement or what's happening with a parent, or there's various things that are out there that are actually not ours personally to do, or it's going to work itself out without us participating. That's how the is it any of my business works. And so the most important thing you can do when you've got drama coming in is this any of my business? Because if you close, that means it's not your business. If you feel a tightness, it's not your business. It's only your business if you feel it expanded or lightening or a feeling, slight lightening, opening feeling. If it's not your business and you go out and you try to participate in it, you're going to muck it up. It's going to get worse. It's not going to work itself out. So it's really important to know that everybody has openings and desires. And sometimes the desires can be look the opposite. So much pain about something that's hurting them that it is theirs to do because it's they care so much. So that can be an impetus. You hear that all the time with people who start incredible things out in the world, is because this hurts so bad, I had to do something about it. And it's on their blueprint. So if you have a care about what's going on in the world, and there's a particular aspect of it that you think about and it really matters to you, Graham, it's yours to do. It's part of your blueprint to be a part of it in some way, shape, or form. And that means that there's a synchronicity and there are miracles that only you can produce in that particular realm.
Hmm.
With your thoughts, your personality, your experience, who you are, only you can do it.
And it might be just on a small level or something, but it's connected to some greater yep, happening or purpose or something. So how do we practice feeling that? Because, I mean, I don't know if you have the difference between men and women, but sometimes I just feel numb and like I can hardly feel these things at all. I mean, one of the things that when I got into recovery in like 2008, I was meditating a lot and I started to feel things like feel the yeah, blood, like the Eckhart Tolle type meditations where I'm like, oh my God, I can feel this stuff going on in my body. But you know, you go through life turns into more life. And then I kind of get back to that numbness where sometimes it's hard to feel if I'm open or closed. I just feel it more of like an obscure sort of ambiguous feeling, you know?
Yeah. So do you ever feel frustrated?
Yeah. Yeah.
Irritated?
Yep.
Do you ever procrastinate on anything?
Yep.
Okay. That impatient?
Yeah.
Defensive?
Yeah.
All of that is closing. You're feeling it. When you feel that way, if you check it, if you just stop in the moment and you notice, you'll feel the tightness. You'll feel that you actually do have a tightness in your chest or a tightness in the solar plex area. That's like a lump in your solar plex area. So people feel like they're not feeling it, but it's because we've named it something else. And so all of those things, they each have a different way of working with your mind. So procrastination is a lie. It is not a character flaw. It is not laziness. It is not because you're avoiding anything. It's one of four things. There's four prompts to find out why you're procrastinating. The first one is it doesn't need to be done at all. Our mind makes up stuff all the time that it thinks we need to do and we don't need to do it. It's going to just fall away or there's no purpose for it getting done. It's not going to be needed. Second one is it's not yours to do. There's somebody else that's supposed to do that thing. Example of that is I had a woman who was trying to get her list was clear out the garage, organize the garage. It was really for her son and her husband to do. And she went and it opened. She's like, it's not mine to do. And you'll feel an opening when you ask the question. If you feel a closing, that's not the issue. So she felt an opening and she's like, oh, it's not mine to do. And then she realized if she had reorganized the garage, her husband and her son would have been so angry that she reorganized all their stuff and they wouldn't have been able to find the fishing stuff and the mountain biking gear and the, you know, because she just wanted to be able to get her car in for the winter so it wasn't being snowed on. The third one is you're making it too complex. You've got this big ornate way that it has to be done and all these steps and all this stuff. And you won't get the impetus. It needs to be simplified. So it'll open you. You'll feel light when you ask the question, am I making this too complex? You'll feel like a lightness. That means that you got to look at what are the steps? How can I take, if I just take it to the down to the core simplest aspect, and you'll feel an opening to do it. The last one is divine timing. It's not the time to do whatever it is that you're expecting to do. I haven't found any other reason why people procrastinate. And once you know what it is, your mind's able to let it go. And then it goes back into a flow of, you know, that what to do with that particular activity or that thing that you want to get done, you know where it goes, and it'll show up and it'll happen. So, but we've labeled it lazy, you know, avoiding, not getting it done, shame, all this stuff we put on it. Shame's always closing.
Well, part of shame's it feels like there, maybe this falls into one of those categories, but that it's just bigger or more complicated than you think it really is. And really it's a fast and fairly simple task that once you do it, it's nothing, but you've, like, in your head, you're making it out to be this painful exercise.
Exactly. Exactly. And once you know that, then you just take it down to what's the simplest thing I need to do, you know, for this project.
Where did this kind of stuff set in? Because I feel like people didn't have this problem, you know, or maybe they did have this problem 500, 1,000, 10,000 years ago. Like, what is the nurture aspect that has created this? Because I have a hard time believing that we'd be just wired like this to be just fucked up right out of the gate, you know? I mean, but you know what I mean? We shouldn't, I feel like in the human experience, we shouldn't really need to be making repairs for a childhood down the road, ideally.
Yeah, I agree with you. So I went and I stayed with the Shipibo tribe in Ecuador for a week. And so this is a group of people that have no technology. They live in huts. They sleep in tents. They sleep in hammocks. They wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and they discuss their dreams. And there's a shaman that lives with them in their little 10 to 12 person village. And the shaman interprets the dreams and they decide what to do for the day based on the dreams that they were given the night before. Right. And so whether they hunt, whether they gather, whether they, you know, clean stuff out, whatever it is decided that way. And for a very long time, nobody had gone in and actually shown them any of our technology. When I described what I do and what this is, first of all, they couldn't they're like, well, yeah, that's how you do everything. Like how you move through the jungle, how you find anything you do, how you do anything, you follow this expanded, there's a flow and all of nature's already doing it. Whales are migrating into it. Right. But as we came through life and we began to industrialize, now all of a sudden there's rules. You have to go to college to get a good job. What if your blueprint doesn't have you going to university, right? We have all these things. Well, you know, you're in church and you start acting up because you're 4 years old or in a place where you're supposed to be quiet and everybody in the room looks at you with this dirty look and all of a sudden you feel shame. You feel shame for being buoyant. You feel shame for just being excited to be a four-year-old who's like messing around, right? We get these things because of the constructs of our society and it's not intentional. It's just what happened to try to fit in. And the more organized the environment is that you were raised in, as far as like organized as like, this is how we all have to fit in and we have to do it. The harder it is for you to be yourself and the harder it is for you to be yourself, the harder it is to be on your blueprint because the blueprint that you came here with. And I know that's a big concept to think like, is that true even that we have a blueprint? But what I found is that when people clear the closings out and they get back to feeling their authentic self, the world becomes easy. Your path becomes easy. You're not stopping yourself from saying something or doing something or dreaming about something. When we're a kid, I mean, you're like, I want to be a baseball player, a professional baseball player. And parents go, well, only a few people get to do that. You should probably be a welder. But that wasn't your dream. And you don't know. You could be following your baseball path and you end up being an announcer in baseball, or maybe you own a sporting goods store, or maybe you don't know where that baseball dream is going to lead you, but that's how we're supposed to be led, is through our dreams and people to protect us, keep us safe, not have it be like, so we don't get disappointed or we make sure we have enough money, right? You can't marry that boy. He's a musician, but I love him. No, he can't take care of you. We won't let you. See what I'm saying? Like how fast?
Has it gone too far in some ways? We're being coddled in a way. Like, I feel like we're raising kids now that, like, in a way where, and I don't know, cause I'm not a father, so I don't really know for sure, but where it's like, you can be anything. And like, cause I grew up in that environment where my mom was like, yeah, you can. So they supported us to be who we wanted to be and do what we wanted to do. But has that gone too far where now there's no reality to what's going on? And like, people are,
I don't think. Yeah, I don't think it's as simple as there's one overarching way. I think one of the biggest things that's happened is, and this is another thing, Darren, about what we're talking about how this happens, right? Our society has shifted so much since the 1980s and 70s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, right? It used to be that we had four television channels, maybe eight, right? And we all watch the same things at night, right? You know this theme to MASH.
Yeah.
Da, 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 right. You know, right. You know what your parents are watching. You know what they're, you know what the news is. We know, like, there's this whole way. And so everybody the next day would wake up from our day before with very common knowledge. When we got the internet and everybody can then have a really diverse appetite for knowledge and activities and things we like and our allegiances, now we're all walking around siloed. Right? We're all walking around with our own individual experience that you can't just go up to somebody in a grocery store and be like, can you believe what happened on Dynasty last night? And there's a common thing. Or can you believe what's going on over in X country? Because we all are watching the same news, right? And what's happening is in that fracture and that lack of community, you can't just say, like, are we coddling everybody? Because there's people out there whose parents, they came out of foster care and nobody could ever coddle them in their whole life. And then there's other people who won't even let their kids go to the park. They're, you know, 18 years old and they practically won't let them go out and do stuff. And they're being overcoddled because of the fear of the parents. So it's so vast. And I think that's the reason why this internal guidance system, which we call IGS for short, I think that's why the IGS is so important, because each person can get back into tune with what's actually right for them and trust it. I think the lack of trust of ourselves is at an all-time high. And that's something that I can say is a big detriment that's causing us to have all the dysfunction that we have, is that somebody will want to say something or do something and they'll hold back out of fear. And fear is always closing no matter what. In fact, I have a new movement, which is called Fear Free Human. It's a movement to eliminate mental fear on the planet, because we don't need it. Our species can evolve out of fear using this tool. And
mental fear, not like fear of bears and shit.
Yeah, there's physical fear and there's mental fear. Physical fear is like a shark comes and swims by you while you're swimming in the ocean, right? You know, or you flip out covers on your bed and there's a black widow. That's real fear. Like, you're like, ah, I don't even want to, I can't even climb in the bed now, right? But, or getting hit by a semi on the freeway. And physical fear, once it's removed, goes away. Once you move the spider, once the shark is gone, once you're recovered from the semi almost hitting you, you're like, oh God, that was close. Mental fear is with us all day long, 3 o'clock in the morning. It's railing on us. We all have different levels of it depending on the pressure, right? You could say, I don't have much mental fear, which mental fear, irritations is a form of mental fear. It's afraid that somebody's going to hurt your life. You're irritated with them because they'll never change, right? Frustration, my life will never change. Procrastination, I'm never getting anything done. I'm afraid I'm not going to be successful because I'm not getting things done. It all boils down to mental fear in the very core of it. And mental fear, depending on the pressure in your life, your mom suddenly starts showing dementia signs and you know you're going to have to do something. And there's a fear that comes up. I can't afford to put her in a home, or how do I have that conversation, right? So mental fear shows up and rails on us. It just eats at us. And that's the fear we can get rid of as a species.
So can you tell us more about this movement then?
Yeah, it's a 1,000-year movement. I know that's a long time. I'll be gone for sure, right? I want to get it started because there's different layers of fear that we have to eliminate. And we're seeing it in, like, the conversation about, let's say, racism, right? Big conversation up on our planet. And it's really not about racism. And when you come down to the core, it's actually about other, right? And it's about making someone different from yourself and not liking them because they're other than you. Well, like an example to make it really simple is we have Airbnbs in our community, and the Airbnb owners are other and we don't like them, because they're just bringing people into our neighborhood and they're being loud and they don't follow the rules and they're, you know, all of that, right? You can other anything. So that's one layer of mental fear we have, right? And it's like, and there's so many of them. We have to take care of the ones in our family and then our community and our society and our government and our medical institutions. So the movement is really about taking the work and I'm licensing it into different industries and we're setting this up right now to be able to have them use this so each person can find the openings, because we don't have the solutions that we need for the planet right now. They can't come from the mindset we have, right? And so in order to find a new mindset, you have to actually break through the closing of what you think is possible to get to the opening that we can all agree on together. And that's part of what this does, is when you clear out the closings, the beliefs that you have that aren't true about what's possible, and you find the opening, like, this is possible. Like Elon Musk, no matter what you think about him, he actually lives into his opening. To be able to put as much time and energy into going to Mars, right? Creating an electric car system when there was no infrastructure whatsoever to be able to support it. That is the kind of thinking that I'm talking about. Yeah. And the belief, and he's open that that's possible. He has an unshakable center about being possible. That is something that each and every one of us can have for ourselves about what it is we're here to produce. And that's the kind of thinking that the movement is engaged in supporting people and getting to. Because then we can actually hold on, we can find what needs to be changed, and we can hold on to the belief that it's possible. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that's where things will really innovate and will... we'll get away from these kind of fake solutions or this. I feel like the house of cards kind of all this sort of like fake solutions and sort of corruption, and it's got to come to the surface so that we can do some real work. I mean, I know there's real work being done too. There's a lot of good, like you mentioned some examples there of extracting plastic from the ocean, or there's probably a whole bunch of things that are going on. I mean, even desalination of water is a thing. Like all these things, we're almost there. We just don't.
Yeah.
We just don't have the what you're saying, the openness and the infrastructure to put it together.
Yeah, and this will lead us there. So that's what the movement is about. It's about getting it in. I'll give, like, I had a woman who was a cardiologist, and she was using her internal guidance system, and she gave a protocol. It's just one example to a patient. And as she's walking to her car, she said she was thinking about what she had just told the nurses to do for this person. And she realized she was closed. And all of a sudden, she's like, wait a minute, something I'm thinking about, this isn't true. So she went back up there. She looked at the chart. There was a medication the person was on. And the protocol that she had given would have had a detrimental, possibly death response to the person. She wouldn't have known that she missed it, that she was exhausted. She's a surgeon, right? All this stuff. She went back down, said she refigured it. Everything was fine. She went back down. She got in the car and she goes, we need this in every single medical school. If every single doctor was able to, like, about to make a move in surgery and could feel that that wasn't it and stop and reassess what's going on until they find the opening, we would have so much less death that's at the hands of the medical community. And there's so much more we could do in research if we could follow our openings to do the research. So that's just one example of what's possible if we get this into various industries out in the world, legal, government, our communities, our education, our family systems, ourselves, just getting yourself. Yeah.
What about what are the sort of big picture implications? Because I mean, does anyone, and I'm not defending the system, this is just a thought experiment, but does anyone want to work in the, you know, does anyone open up for working in the factory or, you know, selling insurance or all these sort of things that, you know, we seem to find ourselves stuck doing day in, day out just to survive. And I don't know where that sort of fits in, you know. I don't think it's sort of the best calling.
Like a menial job that
you feel stuck at, that you have to do because you get to make the ends meet. And sure, people can say, well, hey, man, you're raising your kids and you're putting food in the fridge and you're not feeling that when you're fucking going there every day, you know. You just, like, I mean, maybe that's how I feel.
No. It's a valid question. What I have found when I first started doing this and teaching, it was back in like 2002, 2003, I had a housekeeper. She came in and cleaned every 2 weeks. And I was, of course, thinking the same way. And I asked her and I said, do you want to be doing anything else? Like, is there something else you want to be doing? And she's like, first of all, she was completely confused because why would I ask that? And I was explaining to her, I was like, everybody has a purpose and you're cleaning my house. And is that what you really want to be doing? Or is there something else that you'd rather be doing? And she goes, no, I love cleaning houses. I love coming in. I get to make your house beautiful. I get to make sure that you're happy and everything that you need is done so that you can focus on what you do. I have enough money to take care of my grandbabies. She was raising two grandbabies. She was an older woman. And she goes, I like cleaning. I don't want to do anything else. Then there'll be people who are doing, like you said, the menial task, right? Their job is something that they go and they put in their time, and then they come out and then they go work on building their truck from the ground up, or they're doing their garden. They don't want their job to be their life's purpose because they have hobbies, and they want their hobbies to be their life purpose, right? Now, there are people who are stuck, and there's a whole bunch of stuff that has to get rebalanced, right? There are people who are stuck in jobs that they don't want because they were pushed there for lots of reasons. You know, a lot of our addictions are coming from the fact that somebody pushed somebody out of their blueprint into a life that they didn't want from the very beginning. And now they feel this depression and hopelessness that they're medicating.
So right? How does someone, because there's probably a lot of people listening to this right now that are like, holy shit, you know, that was me. I just sort of slipped into this and now I got three kids and I'd rather be doing this, but you know, I'm kind of jammed up.
The good news is once you get started on this, you're only a few opening thoughts away from being back on track from day one. Okay. We have I'll give you guys a link so that I can give the first five practices out to your listeners so they can get started right away on this. And it's totally, there's completely affordable. I want people to have this. This is the change that we need to see. But basically, as soon as you start clearing out the closings, your life begins to change and you begin to not only feel better, but you begin to get solutions to the biggest challenges in your life. Doesn't matter whether it's in your relationship, in finances, your health. I went through cancer. Okay. And just to give you an example, this is not positive or negative thinking. When I felt the lump, I was in the shower, I was doing my breast exam, and I felt the lump. And I thought, this one's different. This is cancer. And I opened, which means that thought is true. Immediately, your mind's going to jump in with, oh no, I'm going to die. And I was like, oh, I'm going to die, closed. And I was able to move through my thinking because this is what I train people to do. And I knew that I didn't need radiation. I didn't need chemo. I was doing a double mastectomy and that I was going to live and be fine. I got through my whole cancer experience in 3.5 months. Now, I'm not saying everybody's answer is that, because that's not true. That's where you come through your own thing. But it does it. That's where the true essence of being fear-free. I went through the whole cancer experience fear-free. The whole time. I had to convince the doctors not to shove chemo and radiation at me, because they really wanted me to go down their path. And I had seven doctors total, and every one of them was telling me that I was an idiot because I didn't do the chemo and the radiation. And I was like, no, that's not what's true for me. And every time I try to cave because the pressure was so high, I'd be like, well, maybe I should do it. Total tightness. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing the chemo and radiation. And I've had other people I've worked with in that open to do the chemo and radiation. So that's the thing, is it's individual. But my point is this. No matter what you're going through, when you start to clear out the closings and finding your openings, you are getting back in alignment with your blueprint and you will get there. And it's faster than you think. And so even if you're stuck and you got three kids and you don't know what to do, if you begin to really focus on getting rid of your closings and get into your openings, I've seen people go from jobs they hated, right, to having their own mechanic shop, like people that are like working in a office doing like what you said, like insurance. He was doing life insurance. He went and he loved to redo cars. And so he ended up getting a fabrication shop and helping people redo the cars and making special equipment, special little parts that they couldn't find anywhere else. And he just, it slowly but surely, it was like one person came to him and he's got an opening and he did it. And next thing you know, he's in a different career. Over and over, we had a woman who had been training for years to be a ballroom dancer and she was too afraid. She thought she wasn't good enough. And she opened to compete. Her first time out the gate, she got national champion. Wow. First time out the gate, because that was on her blueprint to do. And so,
does that come along with any of its own sort of hangups or dilemmas? I mean, because Graham and I, in a lot of ways, we get to live the dream. You know, our hobby turned into our job, but it doesn't mean that all, you know, you still got problems all the time and all the problems are still there. And now you got this weird imposter syndrome where it's like, is this okay? You know, it's been okay mm-hmm. for now, but is it okay long term? Yeah. What does this look like in 6 months or 8 months or a year? So how does that sort of, what are sort of some of the things you can expect along the way as some of these transitions?
Yeah, there's three phases. So the first phase, what happens is people are like, I don't know what I'm thinking. And then they realize I'm closed all the time. Like all day long, I go through my day and there's frustration, irritation. I'm closed. So there's practices. So you do the practices in the moment right then. You don't like stop and you don't have to stop and go, oh, what is my ideas telling me? No, you're like in the moment. You learn how to work with it in the moment, right? You feel it, you do the practice, opens back up, you're back on track. The second phase is you've cleared out a bunch of your closings, things that weren't true for you, and you're finding all these openings, all these new things that feel expansive. Your desire for your life begins to become activated again, and you actually have this, all these things coming to you that you want to do and that you're feeling like is the right thing, and you got to move towards them. And then in the third phase, you actually stop using your IGS like in the first and second phase. You wake up in the morning and it's called flow, feeling light, open, and wise. You drop into what a practice called your listening, and you can physically feel the next right thing for you to be doing. You feel like you're in flow and you're being pulled. And everything in your life begins to get done in a very synchronistic way. It doesn't matter what it is. And you're at the right place in the right time. All of a sudden, you'll feel like going to a coffee shop, and you're sitting in the coffee shop having a cup of coffee, and you're working on your phone. The person next to you asks you if you could borrow your cord. This is a real thing. Can I borrow your cord? And you go, yeah, sure. Get to pull it out of the bag, hand it to the person. Thanks, I've lost it. And then the person starts talking, and they're like, I'm looking for a place to live. And I just need to get my phone. I'm waiting for a real estate agent to contact me. And then the person goes, I have a house for rent. It's been sitting on the market for 6 weeks and unrented. And he's like, I have a house for rent. He goes, really? He goes, yeah. You want to see it? He goes, yeah. How about right now? They're like, yeah. Rents his house. So it's like over and over and over and over and over magic. We had an example. I was not looking for a car to buy. Stuff like this is crazy. I was not looking for a car to buy. A friend of mine posted a car on Instagram. I was like, that's a really cute car. And I was like, I'd love to own a car like that. And I opened. I'm like, that's ridiculous. I don't need a new car. I was like, should I buy that car? And I opened because I really like the car. A lot of it comes from desire. I ended up getting the car. This is crazy. So the car is in California. I live in Idaho. My husband's flying down to go get the car. And about 3 weeks earlier, our check engine light on our other car came on. And it was under warranty, which I got an opening to spend money on this expensive warranty, by the way. That's another one. The same thing. The check engine light comes on. He drops it off at the dealership, and the dealership takes him to the airport to go get the other car. Turns out our car needed an entirely new engine. They had the car for 2.5 months because all of the stuff that was going on with COVID, we couldn't get the engine in. The warranty covered the engine, and we had another car the whole time because I had an opening to buy this car. And then it turned out this car was an awesome car. Other car needed work. It's like these crazy things where you're like, it just, everything always works out. And I know that's really hard to say, but there's hard things that still happen. I went through cancer, but everything always works out. And it ends up being the best thing that could have happened. And that's one of the, there's like overarching rules. One of them is I always have what I need before I need it. It's always opening. And it's true. If you really look back at your life, you do always have exactly what you need before you need it. Now, you may not have like $2 million more than you need, but you have what you need before you need it consistently over and over and over again. And it's the most fantastic, amazing, incredible thing. And it's just like nature. If you look out in nature, when you go out hiking in the middle of the woods, everything out there has what it needs before it needs it. It's really an incredible thing. And that's the way the planet needs to be operating. And it's not a socialist thing. It's not about like the redistribution of wealth or anything. No, because there's some people who don't want much, legitimately are like, no, I want my little tiny house and my little garden. And then there's people who want more. And legitimately, that's opening and what's right for them. And this experience of balance between all of us will come when we begin checking in and following how to be a part of this synchronicity that is a divine energy that's riding the ship. It's a miracle. It's a miracle that this exists. I feel so much gratitude that I get to share this with the world. The lives that people, when people learn to do this, their lives completely change. They're just happy. And it takes like the first 2 weeks, the transformation is massive because you're just clearing out all the stuff that's not true for you. And you feel right again. You feel good. You feel solid. Your life is relaxed. You're confident. I know it sounds like too good to be true, but
is this sort of stuff mimicked in any of the scripture, you know, what any of the sort of spiritual teachings?
It is in almost every spiritual teaching out there, right? And yes, it's all throughout the Bible. I myself am a Christian. I consider myself a Trinity keeper. That's not something that's out there. I just believe in the Trinity and I worship God and I believe Jesus died for my sins. But Christian's a little hard because that can mean a lot of different things and it's meant a lot of different things in the past. So I kind of leave that one behind. I it's, you know, but I do believe this is the Holy Spirit in my, for myself. Anybody, I encourage everybody to go do their own work, figure out what it is for them. It's none of my business what it is for anybody else. It's none of my business what other people believe. My business is teaching people how to do this so that they can get on their path that's right for them. But when I read the Bible and I look at the scripture about the Holy Spirit and the Spirit in the Old Testament, it matches up with what my experience is of following this. And it says in the Bible 365 times, do not be anxious, do not be worried, do not be fearful, like all these different times in there, which I think somebody said that number is not accurate, but regardless, it's so much in there.
We just went through this. So it depends on the exact wording, but I believe that exact number 365 is what we had a guest on a few weeks ago. And they're like, if you take into, like you said, no fear is only in there like seven times, but if you just like did the different ways of saying sort of,
yeah,
that exact same thing.
Exactly. And I believe the reason why it's in there so much is because when you're in fear, you're moving off of your blueprint. You're moving away from your connection and God's will for you. And when you reconfigure and you step into the opening, you're renewing your mind, which is one of the Bible verses that talks about that the Holy Spirit comes in and it creates a renewal of the mind, right? And when you go from the closing into an opening, you're stepping back into alignment with God, into his will, into connection. And I've seen that over and over and over again. I have a program called Heaven's Compass that's specifically for people who want to study this work and the scripture and how it reunites, you know, ignites their life in a path that they're in service. But yeah, I definitely think it's connected. And then also in a lot of other wisdom traditions that are out there, it is definitely in the Muslim religion. It's in Buddhism. It's in Hinduism. It's in everybody I've talked to I've taught people 40,000 people plus now. And globally, it doesn't matter where you are, what you believe, every human has it and it operates the same way. This is not intuition, by the way. This has nothing to do with intuition.
I was going to ask that.
Yeah, it's the difference is everybody has a different type of intuitive gift and it operates differently. So I can have two empaths. An empath is a person that feels emotion that's not their own. I can have an empath that walks into a room and feels the emotion in the room as if it's in their own body. They're physically feeling the emotion themselves. Can have another empath that is in the room and they feel on the outside of themselves, like the presence of anger or the presence of despair, right? And so everybody's intuitive gifts are slightly different and are nuanced. This works the exact same way in every person. I can train every person that I've ever met that I've worked with. It is the same way. The principles are the same. So this is something different. It's like your heartbeat, everybody's heartbeat mostly. I know if you have a irregular thing going on, but most often everybody's heart works the same, right? Everybody's blood system works the same. This is a part of who we are, like our nervous system,
gut
like
feeling.
Our endocrine system. Yeah. So gut feeling can be, we've collapsed gut feeling into, it can be the IGS or it can be intuition based on, you got to be able to noodle that apart.
Okay.
And you can do that by looking at, you'll get intuitive hits. Right. And what happens is as soon as you get intuitive hit about something, your mind wraps a story around it. It means this, right? The IGS is good for decoupling the story to see what the pure intuitive hit was versus the story you made up about it. So a gut feeling can be an intuition thing. It could also be you literally get a closing in the solar plex. That is the internal guidance system. It closes in the solar plex when you have a belief system, which is colors the whole way you're doing life. That's not true for you. It shows up in the solar plex. And as soon as you hit if you look at your thinking, like, what is the one thread, the one assumption I'm making about this experience that's not true? And you pull that out, it'll open and release instantly. It's not your emotions either, right? So your emotions are based on a story that your mind is running on you, right? So somebody doesn't like you. They don't call you back. They gave you a dirty look at a barbecue and you suddenly think the person doesn't like you. It has nothing to do with you, but you have a belief. So every time that person comes up, you have a story running. If that story's not true, it'll close you. Emotions are the upset you have, if you get upset about those things, but the upset you have about somebody not liking you, that's an emotion. Getting angry, right? You get angry at somebody, that's an emotion. Now, in the middle of the anger, you could either be open because the thoughts you're having about the situation are true, or you can be closed because the thoughts you're having about the situation are false. You could be either or. Despair. I was in grief. My mom died. And when I was totally in grief, I would be open thinking about the thoughts about how amazing she was and what she gave me as a person. And then I would be closed and I was pity and like, what about me? And what about how am I going to raise my babies? And she's never going to be there, right? All that totally close, sick feeling inside, tight, because those thoughts weren't true. I've always had wonderful women that were mother figures in my life. So they're separate. And so that's the training that I teach people, is to know all of this. I've spent 30 years decoding it and figuring it all out. Believe me, you don't want to do it the way I did it. It was hard to figure out. It was hard. Now it's easy. I got simple little Miyagi approaches, little tiny practices that get you doing it and coasting along and in it really easily.
So do you think that the do you think the negative cycle, you know, whether it's the news or the internet, or now we're down to short, so you can just get fucked up in like 30 seconds and go on to the next one. How much of this, do you think any of this is by design? Do you think that the powers that be, or the darkness, that whatever it is actively trying to make sure people are, it seems like you already.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
What do you think? So? Well, at all levels, like, you know, it's not just the devil, for lack of a better word, but also in society, do you think that there's people at the top that are like, you know, we can't give these motherfuckers too much good news?
Yeah. Well, it's not even that. I don't even think it's that nice. Can't give them too much good news. I think it's, we need to keep them in fear, because if they're in fear, they're disconnected from their divine truth. And if they're disconnected from their divine truth, they have no power. And if they have no power, they can't be completely convicted within their own beingness of change. That they have the power to change things.
He's the main one, right? Like, if you were supposed to pick, what is all this doing? You know, it's doing this, it's doing that. But ultimately, it's all sort of fear-based, you know? It's like, oh, you need these pharmaceuticals because you might die, or you're not going to be able to pay your bills. Or, you know, it all sort of boils down to fear. It's all coming out there to make you scared of something, you know? The politicians are trying to make you scared of other politicians or other countries, and the news is making you scared of your neighbor, and, you know, so on and so on.
Yes. Yeah, it's all about fear and distraction.
When do you think that sort of started? Has this been like ongoing back to ancient times, or is this more current?
I think it's a complete way that the society has been structured since the beginning of time. It's all about power, right, and control. And there's factions of people that's how they're living. That's what they do. And they do it. And now we can just do it on a bigger scale. And I think that is the kind of the ultimate war that we're in.
They're still human. So they've got to be dealing with this same sort of internal thing we're dealing with. How does their thing let them get away with this sort of stuff, you know, and not feel like shit all the time?
How far down the rabbit hole do we want to go?
About 10 minutes.
I mean, because we could, that's a rabbit hole that we could go way down, right? No, seriously. I think that there are people who have been in power for hundreds, if not thousands of years, that absolutely know that this is true, but they don't use the internal guidance system. They use other forms of guidance as power to make the decisions that they make. And that there's a lineage, so to speak, of training in the family systems that they live in that's been ongoing for a very long time. And we see it. I mean, everybody's admitting it. Like, that's the thing. And they own things like the pharmaceutical industry, and they own things like our oil, and they own everything that that we need to survive. And I believe that this is an antidote to that, because in your life, when you clear out the closings and you're in your truth and you're in the opening, because you still get openings and closings once you close them out. They're just about things like, should I spend my money here? Should I spend my money there? Like, right before 2008, I got an opening to pull all my money out of my 401k, and I didn't lose any money in 2008. So we have this system that's not just only paying attention to our little moments where we're upset and angry, but we have a system that's literally moving us into having a healthy, incredible life. And if we're all doing that, we suddenly have something to fight for.
So is that the same system people are tying into when they're doing manifestation things and stuff like that? Is that sort of based on the same?
I think that it's a diluted, false system that actually, again, keeps us out of the true power.
Which one? The manifestation system?
Huh? Yeah, the manifestation system. Because so the way that I've seen it is I do believe the law of attraction exists, so to speak. But it's not about attracting wealth or your perfect career or your mate or all of that, like they say. That's too small, actually. It's about the world around you as a mirror so you can see who you are to polish your soul to become an incredible being. And there's stuff coming into your – it's the way I teach the mirror practice, which is anything that's showing up in your world is something that's a part of who you are and who you're being. And so what you're getting that's triggering you, that's not right for you, that doesn't feel good, you transmute that by changing who you are inside, which is basically what they're saying, but it's a little bit different. And once you have changed everything inside that's not working, that's out of alignment, the stuff that you're supposed to be in, which is far bigger and greater than you're wanting a Ferrari or a big house, the stuff you're supposed to be a part of and in is going to make you way happier. It naturally comes to you because you did the work to clear out all the stuff that wasn't working. And so it's really about clearing out the stuff that's not working and getting into your perfect truth. And then you are now magnifying everything that magnetizing everything that's coming that needs to come to you that's right for you versus it's just another distraction to be like, oh, I don't have enough money. I need $1,000 this month. That's just a waste of your power. We're way more powerful than that. And it's just all this gunk, these closings that are in our heads and that are showing up that are need to be pulled out of the way for us to get to our actual true thing. And then it naturally comes to you without you having to do much of anything. Does that make sense? It's kind of backwards. And once again, it's about fear and distraction because lack is distraction and fear. I'm afraid I don't have enough. I'm afraid I'm not going to get what I need. I'm afraid I don't have what I want.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, some of those manifestation guys are sort of dipping right into that exact pool that you're sort of talking about, like the Napoleon Hill interview with the devil stuff, where he sort of says that, you know, fear and all this stuff. I would say that he's almost looking at it from a more secular how to sort of hack your mind. Because I mean, all his tenets are sort of the exact same ones you're talking about. It's like you got to get, once you get your fucking head straight, all the other stuff will sort of follow.
Yes, it is true.
And there was some similarities between the what you were saying and the new thoughts, the Christian new thought movement or Christian Science, maybe, that was back in the, I don't know when, 1800s, early 1900s. Mm-hmm. You know, they pulled out a lot of scripture too, talking about not being fearful and that part about us being naturally expansive, you know, expansive. And
yes.
Attractive. Yeah.
Exactly. I think the difference is though, not think, the difference is one school of thought has you working on your mind by yourself and you trying to do it all for yourself by yourself. And I am the master of my mind. I can tell you right now, nobody can do that well as a overarching holistic way. Something will come in like cancer that just shoves you way out of your realm of being able to handle it and your mind goes crazy. I know both of you have had, I know everyone that I've been involved with has had experiences where your mind just will not shut up and it's going mad and you cannot get a handle on it, right? So we can't manage our minds by ourselves. The difference is there is a divine essence within you that's this expansion and contraction that is guiding you on the exact right thinking that's true for you. And when you hit it, you open and that old thought that is a lie goes nearly extinct. We can't do that by ourselves. We need to tap into something else. And the thing that I decoded, this internal guidance system, is attached to something beyond us that knows more than us, more about us than we could ever know. And when you tap into it, that's the difference. Your mind actually changes and becomes something new. And the Napoleon Hill stuff, they don't tell you how to do that. They just tell you think positive, have affirmations, do this. But it doesn't actually tell you how to rip the weed out of the garden and throw it away like this is.
Interesting.
There are behaviors and things that I believed that are, that don't even come up anymore in my life. And it's the same with all the students and the people who have studied this. They are different, and the power is different. The empowerment is different, and they begin to trust something outside of themselves, which is exactly what we need to get us out of the mess we're in. Is there's, I truly believe that we need to connect to something outside of ourselves as a species to get us there. It's the only thing that'll put that trueness in our hearts that allow us to be the fruit of the spirit, patient, kind, compassionate, like self-control.
A Christ consciousness sort of thing?
Yeah, the capacity to live like Christ.
Yeah, because that, I mean, that kind of gets brought into the New Thought world a lot too, is it's sort of a lot of overlap with the Christ consciousness sort of thing, which is, you know, I guess out of all the religious sort of stuff we've heard on the show, the Christ consciousness is the easiest to sort of get into because it doesn't involve all these sort of, you know, hangups that come with all the organized stuff. It's just sort of like,
yes, hey,
you just got to do this. But then the hardcores say, well, that won't save your soul, buddy.
So here's the thing that I found that's really cool. I'm a Christian, and there's the whole conversation about Jesus and dying on the cross, and it's an incredibly important one. And I do believe that that is the way that we can sanctify ourselves and actually have the grace to be able to be sinless. You know, we're sinners, and to be able to get to a place where we can have that. What I have found is that it doesn't matter. That conversation is not important in the beginning, because once you start clearing out the closings and you start following flow, you're going to be led to the things that are most important for you to know to clear up your soul, and you'll get to where you're supposed to be. And it's none of my business. So when you realize that every thought that you have, you're getting guidance on to support you in getting rid of what doesn't work. And there's a loving presence that exists inside of you that's moving you towards what will work for you, and that it loves you and it cares about you and it wants you to be kinder and softer and have the most intimate, beautiful relationships and have the most touching, precious life and to accomplish all these beautiful things. There's like something literally physically, like I worked with a very large corporation, and the executives that I worked with there, like the Death Star of corporations, you could probably imagine which one it is. And the executives that I work there would individually in coaching comes go, what is this? This is something different. I'm feeling something I've never really realized was in me before. There's a preciousness. There's a divinity. There's an exquisiteness. There's our body as a temple that holds something. Once you get that, it takes over and it reconfigures your truth for what is real. And you realize there's something that is far beyond us that's there, and you'll find your way, right, to where you need to be. And it's not about clubbing people over my way or the highway. It's really about supporting them and realizing that they have it within them, and that that truth will lead them. So Christ consciousness is an interesting one. I try not to comment on a bunch of stuff that's out there because, once again, it's kind of none of my business. My business is to teach the IGS and trust you that once you're following it, that you're going to be fine. And that's what I've seen to be true with thousands and thousands of people that have done it. So that's so where far, I...
So far, so good. Zen, this
so
has been
far,
great.
So good.
Where can people go if they want to find out more right now?
We have a 5-day, which is 5 different practices to get you guys started in doing it. It's fearfreehuman.com/start. fearfreehuman.com/start. And in going there, we'll get you going on it and then give you options of other trainings you can do. You can also find me on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, everywhere under Fear Free Human. It's the movement and the conversation that we want to be in. So that's where they find me.
And what was the book again? Wasn't there a book last time we had you on?
Yes, it's called Your Inner GPS, which is like a GPS in a car. And you can find it on Amazon and Audible.
Perfect. Zen, this has been great. We appreciate you coming back on the show, and come back anytime.
Thank you. You guys have been great. Thanks. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks. That was fun.
Ciao.
Bye.
And that was our chat with Zen Cryer DeBrook. What'd you think?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. I was going to bring up some ancient wisdom stuff too, because I mean, these books I'm reading, like they talk about how thoughts are things, right? How important our thoughts are. So it really kind of fits with stuff we've known as humans for thousands of years.
Maybe forever.
We've lost it.
maybe forever. Big thanks to Zen for coming on the show. Big thanks to you guys for listening. Even bigger thanks if you're part of the 1% that chooses to support our work, the value for value model over here, where we don't charge you or put commercials or paywalls up here. We just ask that if you did like the show, if you added some value to your day, to your commute, or wherever you're listening, head over to grahamerica.ca/support today. Sign up for a monthly or make a one-time donation, and we could keep doing the show and you can keep listening and everybody wins. You know, this is all we got to do. So help us keep doing it. Head over to grahamericaoutlaw.ca for the other podcast, adultbrain.ca for the audiobooks. Contact at the cabin for trips and events. There's still one spot left for that Azores Atlantis adventure with Randall Carlson this fall. And grahamericacbd.com for our new CBD products and gummies and stuff. Other than that, we love you guys. Thanks for listening. And we will see you next week. Bless you. I just barely got it.